We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Can you believe the weekend is here? It's Friday. Hey, we made it. We did it. Yeah. Can you believe that it took this long to get to Friday? What a week. And it's not over yet. You're going to have to get through some really hot days before we actually can claim some rest. But hopefully you got most of your yard work and things done outside. Man, it's hot. I got myself a power washer, so I was out trying to get some of the driveway done today. And it was actually, it felt pretty good. I kept... You know, the little residual spray from my sandals was pretty awesome to feel that come through. So it didn't feel as hot, you know, 105, 110 miles an hour or degrees, I should say. But, you know, since it is the last show of the week, we do keep things a little bit more flexible for you. If you want to call in, you can. You are invited. In fact, you don't have to be in St. Louis to call. And we know that we broadcast to 30-some states all the way up to Canada and even Mexico. I don't know if we've ever had a caller from Mexico, but we reach down there. That's the number. It's 436-7900 if you're locally here in the area, or if you're outside the St. Louis region, call 800-925-1120. If you're east of the Rockies, 800-925-1120. We're going to have a guest on in a moment. His name's Ken Webster Jr. He's with a radio station in Houston, and he was the guy that was suspended on Facebook for using the term, quote, illegal immigrant. And he's, I had a chance to talk to him today. I had a really good chat with him, I thought. And he's not like a big deal to him. He's like, okay, whatever. But he made national attention. I saw this story was shared all across Facebook. A lot of my conservative friends were posting it. Newsbusters even did an article, and you saw some on other publications too, Breitbart. And I think I got that on Drudge originally, the story on Drudge. But that's just part of a bigger story too, because Senator Cruz and Josh Hawley, our senator here in Missouri, have been questioning some of the big tech companies that have had some pretty big issues, not just with the freedom of speech, but with how they're treating certain people. And I actually pulled two clips I wanted to play for you when Ted Cruz was doing a line of questioning. I believe this was yesterday. He had Dennis Prager, who's a very well-known personality. He does radio. He's an author. He's also someone that has Prager U, which is a very popular YouTube channel where he brings up more historical context, but from a conservative side, for example, the history of Israel. And when you start to get into moments like that, people find the history of Israel offensive. So people will flag that. YouTube and Google have flagged that. And he's been at the end of these big tech companies, have found ways to give him a hard time about everything he's doing. I wanted to play a couple of testimony bits, one from him and one from Dr. Robert Epstein. And he's someone that is a publisher or an editor at Psychology Today. He's someone that even identifies himself as a pretty far left Democrat. And that was something that Ted Cruz made sure to point out. But he said that these tech companies have a bigger influence than we're giving them credit for. In fact, they probably swayed a lot. I mean, millions and millions of votes. And they may have used that influence purposely in order to swing it to their own ideology. And that was an eye-opening part of testimony that we've seen the last couple of days. So let's play both of these. And it'll lead into one person that has been given a hard time by Facebook. It's that talk show host out of Houston from KPRC, the radio station down there. Let me do this one first with Dr. Robert Epstein.
And looking forward, if I understood your testimony correctly, you said in subsequent elections, Google and Facebook and Twitter and big tech manipulation could manipulate as many as 15 million votes in a subsequent election?
In 2020, if all these companies are supporting the same candidate, there are 15 million votes on the line that can be shifted without people's knowledge and without leaving a paper trail for authorities to trace.
Now you described the Go Vote reminder, and you said it wasn't a public service announcement, but rather manipulation. Can you explain how? I'm not sure everyone followed the details of that.
Well, sure. If on Election Day in 2016, if Mark Zuckerberg, for example, had chosen to send out a Go Vote reminder, say, just to Democrats, and no one would have known if he had done this, that would have given that day an additional at least 450,000 votes to Democrats. And we know this without doubt because of Facebook's own published data, because they did an experiment that they didn't tell anyone about during the 2010 election. They published it in 2012. It had 60 million Facebook users involved. They sent out a Go Vote reminder, and they got something like 360,000 more people to get off their sofas and go vote who otherwise would have stayed home. The point is, I don't think that Mr. Zuckerberg sent out that reminder in 2016. I think he was overconfident. I think Google was overconfident. All these companies were. I don't think he sent that out without monitoring systems in place. We'll never know what these companies are doing. But the point is, in 2018, I'm sure they were more aggressive. We have lots of data to support that. And in 2020, you can bet that all of these companies are going to go all out. And the methods that they're using are invisible. They're subliminal. They're more powerful than most any effects I've ever seen in the behavioral sciences. And I've been in the behavioral sciences for almost 40 years.
Wow. So that was Dr. Robert Epstein as part of the testimony given during that subcommittee hearing. Ted Cruz, the one answering or asking the questions. And it goes back to the bigger value. What do you think is more valuable to a candidate that's going to be running for president on the Democrat side? What's more valuable to them? A company like Google that could donate to them, you know, $5,000 here, $50,000 there, $75,000 there, you know, help them do a rally over here. What's more valuable, that or 15 million votes? Now, keep in mind when it comes to campaign contributions, one is regulated, one has to be very transparent, and the other one doesn't. One could be done secretly. And these tech companies, if you don't believe they're using their influence, and if you don't believe they're using their technology in a way to play to their own ideology and the things that interest them, and in this case, far-left causes, then this psychology director, Dr. Robert Epstein, laid it out. He said, you know what? Don't listen to me. Go back and look at Facebook's own studies that they've done on this, that they published, that they've already done on this. We know that outside influences when it comes to election gets people very worked up. It's not the Russians you need to worry about. It's Facebook, Google, Twitter, some of these really big companies that are doing these things secretly, and they're doing them to benefit a candidate, but they're not using it as a campaign contribution. They're not having to disclose any of this, and there's an absolute value to the things that they're doing. So you got to be very careful. You know, Ted Cruz does a big tech type of talk like this. He needs to make sure that there is accountability when it comes to these tech companies. Unbridled, going and doing whatever you want, whenever you want to do it. These monopolies that these tech companies have made for themselves could be a thing of the past. And there's some very serious questions if they can self-regulate themselves, because they can't. And they can do everything and hide everything. So what we're going to do is talk to our guest coming up right after the break. He's someone that was suspended on Facebook for using the term illegal immigrant. If you think that term is something that would warrant you getting kicked off a platform, maybe it rises up a little bit higher than that. Maybe it should concern you when the tech companies have this type of control over you and the things that you can do online. Maybe it's a broader problem that we're having. And we're going to talk to our guest coming up next. He is someone that's a Houston radio show host, Ken Webster Jr. on Overnight America KMOX. Joining us now is a Houston radio personality. You may have seen him. He's been shared a lot on Facebook based on what Facebook has done to him. Ken Webster Jr., thank you so much for coming on to Overnight America.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Ryan. It's a pleasure to be here.
Are you used to being the subject to the long arm of the digital laws? I mean, I saw online what happened to you, and I'm hoping you can set up for our listeners what happened to you on Facebook.
So the short answer is no. We talk about the news on the radio here on the Gulf Coast. I'm not used to being part of a news story. My life is very boring. I live a modest life and a nice middle class life here in a big city, and that's fine. You know, I'm not used to being part of the news. But recently I was writing a story on our blog for our news radio station here in Houston, Texas, KPRC 950. And the story was about how the sheriff of Harris County. Harris County is Houston. It's the third biggest county in the country, right after Chicago's Cook, and then Los Angeles County is the biggest, of course. And so we were surprised to find out that our sheriff openly admits to the media that he's not going to help support ICE raids. And I'm sure that you and your listeners already understand the people that are getting raided right now by ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, are criminal illegal aliens. They're not your run-of-the-mill undocumented migrants. And I was actually explaining the difference between the two things in the post, but Facebook still felt that it was hate speech, and they flagged a post that I had on Facebook talking about exactly what I've just explained to you. They called that hate speech.
Was it almost instantaneous, or was there at least a little window where you could assume someone might have complained?
I'd assume somebody complained because I did it. The show goes on the air at 5:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, and sometime around 7 a.m. I posted before we got on the air, and sometime a couple hours into the show, during a commercial break, I went to go check social media, you know, share some news stories with the listeners to our pages and stuff, Twitter, Facebook, etc. And that was when it told me, you have been suspended for 7 days. And immediately I thought, well, what is it about this? So I took a screenshot and posted it, and as best as I could tell, it's the term criminal illegal alien. I challenged it. Facebook won't explain to me what was hate speech, so I assumed that that was it. But the interesting thing, the remarkable thing about this, Ryan, is when I went to do a search on Facebook for the word illegal alien, that word appears on their platform many times. There are groups called Illegal Alien Watchdogs of America or things like that. And there's lots of these things out there, lots of posts and stuff. I'm not sure what was unique about mine. But when I challenged it, the challenge got rejected, and there was no explanation offered to me by the network.
Of course. And these rules that are being selectively enforced, you never know. And they don't care to give you an explanation. Who knows if it's just one person somewhere that has a certain bias that makes that decision, or if it's some sort of algorithm that picks it up. You just never know. And they don't like to describe these sort of things. You became part of the bigger discussion. You know, Ted Cruz has been a big part of that. And being in the state of Texas, you see him stand up for some of these things the tech companies are doing, selectively enforcing or not enforcing at all, or deciding to enforce even when there aren't rules in their terms of service. And there is a bigger debate on this when it comes to the tech companies and the power that they have. I'm sure it's something you have to talk about on your radio program, maybe one you didn't realize you'd be right in the middle of.
Oh, yeah. The listeners got a kick out of it, but it's also a little frustrating. Ted Cruz is our hometown boy. He's from here in Houston. And, you know, I'm sure I don't have to tell you, here in Houston, we pushed hard for Ted Cruz during the last presidential election. I could talk to you for an hour about that. But Ted Cruz has become a great ally to Donald Trump, and both of them have taken up arms with this issue. As a conservative libertarian, I've always had mixed feelings about, should the government intervene with Silicon Valley tech giants censoring conservative and right-wing thoughts? And until it happened to me, I always said no. But in all seriousness, you do got to wonder, Ryan, like, if this was a private company, fine. But it's a company that's gotten billions of dollars in subsidies. That means that they don't have to pay taxes that you and I have to pay, because they've convinced the government that this is a public service worthy of the enhancement and development of our society. But it's not. It's completely biased.
And then you also have the question of how they're classified, because they want to have certain protections as if they are not held liable for the things that are said on their platform. But at the same time, they're playing both ends of this and trying to get the benefits of both ends. If they're a publisher, not a publisher, however they want to classify themselves. You see all these big tech companies in other countries who have a little bit harder laws when it comes to consumer protections. Over in the EU, you get the Facebooks and the Googles of the world fined billions and billions of dollars for the way that they treat certain people. Here in the United States, the laws aren't quite the same, but I think a lot of people in Congress are starting to figure out, well, maybe there needs to be a little bit more protection, because the way that they're treating certain people, not all people, but certain people, the way that it's selective, ideology seems to be a factor, biases seem to be a factor, that needs to be leveled out, because if they can't do it on their own, then maybe there needs to be more protections for the people that use these platforms. And I think it's definitely worth looking into.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said about that. The question of, is it a platform or is it a publisher? And here's another way to frame that argument or that question, Ryan. Is it a tech company or is it a media company? Facebook argues that they're a tech company, but they're not really developing technology, certainly nothing new. The term social media, broken down, is media. It's quite obviously a media organization. If Facebook is a tech company, they haven't developed any new technology. Their latest thing is cryptocurrency. And the crypto community is infuriated with this because Facebook, who goes out and censors speech and thought, and it's like 1984. Well, would you trust them with your money? You can't trust them with your right to express yourself.
You can't even say three words together. Yeah, what are they going to do if you have a certain amount of money invested in their cryptocurrency? Are they going to decide, oh, you know what, you're not allowed to use this anymore, and we'll just confiscate everything that you have there? So why would you trust a company that, if doing that to your speech, why would you trust them to not do that with your money too? And there's so many other questions when it comes to these tech companies. Are you free? Do you feel more free now that you're not on Facebook for a couple days? Is it a liberating feeling?
Okay, so I have a producer. I should explain something. My personal Facebook account is what was suspended. But as you probably know, I don't know if everybody listening understands this, when you have public Facebook accounts, like the one for your radio station or the one for Breitbart, for news outlets, for the Daily Caller, Huffington Post, whatever, generally there are multiple people who are administrators on that. And we could still post things. I could still live stream on Facebook. I could still share articles with our listeners to the 35,000 people that follow my page or the 250,000 people that follow my radio show's page. What I can't do is click the like button on my Aunt Patty when she posts a picture of her lunch, or tell somebody thumbs up to the pictures of their babies, personal stuff, right? And so to some extent, I'm still able to, as you know, as somebody that does this for a living, radio people kind of need social media to communicate with our listeners when we're not on the air. So I could still do that. I just can't talk to my cousins and stuff. But I guess I didn't really answer your question. The short answer would be, sure, whatever. I'll just use Twitter more this week, you know?
You know, this may seem like a silly question, because when you're in the public and you do a talk show, it feels like you got to have really thick skin. But do you feel like you're shamed right now? Like they're trying, like social media shaming's going on, and do you feel it like other people are judging you for being suspended?
You know, I'll tell you a story about one of my friends as an example of what's interesting about that question. The afternoon drive host on our station here in Houston, you may have heard of him. His name's Jesse Kelly. You're familiar with him?
Yes.
Jesse Kelly's a good friend of mine, and Jesse got into trouble on Twitter a while back. And, you know, we're regional acts here in Southeast Texas, around the Gulf Coast in Houston, but Jesse on Twitter has a huge audience. Like, we're so proud of Jesse and what he does. And Twitter a while back, they flagged him. They tried to censor Jesse, and they wouldn't really explain what it was or why they did it to him. And all that ended up happening was it sort of gave him this martyr-like status to people across Twitter. Well, here's a guy that tells jokes on Twitter. What the hell did he do wrong? And I experienced a similar thing with my Facebook account this week. For the most part, if you're a conservative news radio listener in Houston, you probably already know who I am. I'm no big deal outside of this part of the country. But here in Houston, I get around. People know who I am. And to some extent, I think that having this happen to me kind of made many of our listeners who have gotten into trouble for posting memes or trolling politicians' accounts, it sort of gave them this feeling of a connection with me. It's weird, because the point of Silicon Valley censoring right-wing thought leaders like Jesse Kelly, or dare I say myself, is to stop us from getting our message out there. And it sort of seems to have the exact opposite effect. You know what I mean, Ryan?
Yeah, so it's not going to change your behavior, because really you've done nothing wrong to begin with. But then there's always that threat that they could do this again and maybe even make it a longer suspension or delete your account altogether. So do you feel like there's any threat there for that?
I guess if they took me off of Facebook, we've still got other accounts and stuff. At the end of the day, here's the truth. I've just told you how many followers I have on social media, and it's hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands, depending on where you go. Our morning show has about 1 million listeners every morning. If they took us off social media, it's cool. We could still reach these people because we have another platform there. But to all my friends, like my buddy Brandon Darby writes for Breitbart Texas. He's one of the senior editors there. I've got a lot of other friends that are in digital media. I could give you the laundry list of them right now, but I won't bore you with that. They would really get hurt by this. And if that's the direction that our media in this nation is moving in, the Western half of the world itself seems to be moving from an analog base to a digital base, a, terrestrial broadcasting to online broadcasting. In the long run, this is very dangerous, but in the short run, they can't stop us. There's too many of us. Not to make this story longer than it needs to be, Ryan, but one of the reasons why I got into this industry back when I was a young scrub, as working as a radio producer up in Chicago, producing a show called The Man Cow Show, I got to go eat lunch one day with this guy named Andrew Breitbart, and it kind of changed my life. Andrew told me, it's cool that you do this, and it's cool to have one voice and an audience out there that listens to you and respects you, but with more voices, we are stronger. And, you know, politics is downstream from culture, and that's why it's so important that people of each generation in our movement get together, share thoughts, share ideas, and become a louder voice by unifying together. And so that's what we've always tried to do.
Oh, that's awesome. So right now you're not posting, but of course your show is posting. Ken Webster Jr., Houston radio personality. If people actually wanted to check you out on social media or maybe listen to your podcast or your show, where can they find you?
Oh, I'd be honored. Thanks. So on Facebook, facebook.com/KenWebsterJr. Ken Webster Jr. is my professional name so that I'm not confused with the there's a football player, I think. Cool guy from Mississippi. I don't personally know him. Twitter.com/KenWebsterJr. show. KenWebsterJr.com will get you to my blog. Currently the most viewed blog of any news radio personality in the iHeartRadio network.
Awesome. Good to hear that. Ken Webster Jr., thank you for telling us your story here in St. Louis, Missouri on KMOX.
Hey, man, I love St. Louis. Y'all have a really cool community. I'm from the Midwest. Get down that way quite a bit. And Ryan, we'd love to get you on the radio here in Houston sometime if you're ever fired up about something.
Ooh, I should get fired up about something then. All right, cool. Coming up next, I wanted to talk a little bit about Rand Paul. And did you see the story about the way there's a community down in Florida is trying to get rid of the homeless? They're playing some children's annoying songs on a loop in order to drive them out. So let's talk about that too on Overnight America KMOX. I may be one of the luckiest dads on the planet because my son's not into these children's songs like Baby Shark and It's Raining Tacos. Whew! Man, I feel like I dodged a bullet. You see this story? Miami Herald, in West Palm Beach, they're using Baby Shark and Raining Tacos in hopes to deter homeless people from finding shelter and sleeping near the Waterfront Lake Pavilion. Okay. Now, if you haven't heard these songs, I apologize ahead of time because once I play this, you'll not be able to unhear them. I've never heard Raining Tacos. I had to listen to that for the first time. And again, I'm fortunate that my four-year-old does not want to listen to these songs. He likes music. He likes music a lot. And there's other kids' songs he likes, but it's not ones like this. This is the Baby Shark one. All right, already, I know I'm not going to like it. Doesn't take long for me to make that decision. Man, I just got a nosebleed. That's really strange. Mommy shark. Daddy shark. Oh, no, not my other nose. My other nostril's bleeding now. Oh, no. Daddy shark. As this song has that effect to it. If you have a kid and you are forced to listen to this on a loop, I definitely sympathize with you, but is this really an ethical way or the right way to try to move homeless out of an area? Because some people look at this as cruel and unusual punishment. Did they try something like this at Guantanamo Bay? The music, a type of very annoying songs? Let's go hunt. Let's go hunt. Let's go hunt. They just upped the level of annoying. I'm so sorry. If you are looking for a Baby Shark free zone, I feel like this song's been out for a long time, and I'm surprised it's still popular enough where people would play this. And when going online, if you were to just do a YouTube search of Baby Shark, it's unbelievable the amount of renditions that are out there and how many hundreds of millions of views that are racked up for this. Like, let me just go right now. Baby Shark on YouTube. Let me just go through. All right, the first video that came up, 1.3 million views. The second video, 3 billion views. Not million, 3 billion. Whew. That was from Pink Fong Kids Songs and Stories YouTube page. 3 years ago that was posted up. Literally 3 billion with a B views on that video. And then you go down the list. Here's another one. 500 million views, 276 million views, 34 million views, 22 million views, 114 million views. Oh, my goodness. It's a trap, man. Once you get down that rabbit hole and you start looking for things like this. Oh, someone's logged in over here. Let's see. Oh, Camo Exports is logged in, and it looks like a couple of these baby shark-style YouTube pages are in their subscriptions. Who in the Camo Exports department is subscribing to YouTube pages with kids' songs in them? Well, that's interesting. I didn't really think that I was going to find that one. All right, so if that's something you're into, how about this one? It's called It's Raining Tacos. I had to look it up. I've never heard of this one. All right, let's stop it right there. Maybe we shouldn't even play it. It's 2.5 seconds in and I can't take it. All right, let's try it. We're all adults here.
It's raining tacos from out of the sky. Tacos, no need to ask why. Just open your mouth and close your eyes. It's raining tacos.
It's raining tacos.
Or it sounds like the Lego movie when they came out with that Everything is Awesome. If you're homeless, that's the least of your problems if there's this song playing on a loop. Some people are looking at that and they're saying it's cruel. It's cruel because you're out there harassing homeless people, you know? I don't know. Yum, yum, yummity, yum. Shell, meat, lettuce, cheese, and a chant. Yikes. I didn't even think kids like tacos that much when you're that age, do you? Normally, that's something you like when you're a little bit older. I don't get it anymore. I really don't get why kids like this sort of thing. But there it is. They're trying to drive the homeless out in Florida. Right here in St. Louis, we do have a homeless problem as well. I notice a lot of homeless people when I leave the radio station, when I try to get back on the interstate to drive home, and you see them. And the thing is, it's almost like they are asking for a little bit of attention in an indirect way. Because a lot of times you see the homeless that are passed out, who knows for what reason. It could be they're under the influence of something. But they always, I notice this too, it seems like they put their feet over the curb into the street. And I wonder, is that like a... They're just trying to find a way to interact with someone. Is that part of why they're doing it? They just are hoping that someone will come over to them. I can't imagine in St. Louis using that as a way to try to fix things up. Now, if you're in Florida and you're West Palm Beach and you're thinking, oh boy, we don't want to look at it, so we're just going to ship them out somewhere else. So what do you think is going to happen there? I think the bigger obligation for these cities, and if you're in a really rich area, the bigger obligation for these cities or to try to find a way to take care of the homeless, you got to have the programs in place. Now, obviously, there's going to be some people that don't want to take part in those programs. The ones that are part of, you know, homelessness is their choice. They don't want to go to a shelter. They don't want to find a way to get help. They just want to be left alone, and they don't trust other people or whatever it is. That's part of the problem. But they're going to be out there. What are you going to do? Where do you want them to go? And what have you done to try to get them other than playing a song on a loop? That's a weird thing. But do you see that as cruel? I'm just curious. 436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. If you want, I can just keep playing this all night long on a loop.
Daddy Shark.
Is that what you want? Is this what you want?
Grandma Shark.
No, I don't think it is. The problem is, when I even play that, it makes me want to turn my own radio dial. I'm going to start listening to something else. It's over. Okay, no more. We're not going to play it anymore. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Here's the phone number you can call or text, which is 436-7900 locally here, or 800-925-1120. That's another phone number wherever you are. We are live in St. Louis, Missouri for another hour, and then, ooh, weekend's here. All right. Let me get to Terry in St. Louis. Hey, Terry, what's going on?
Hey, I just, finally gave KMOX a chance because I can only get AM.
Oh, why? Do your radio only gets AM?
Yes, it does.
Do you have like an old car?
I hear a lot of comments about homeless people, derogatory comments, and I'm quite offended.
Oh, okay. What offended you?
That people don't want to get off the streets, and that is true. But I've heard. I don't know if it was you or if it was another newscaster saying or a DJ saying that we're hobos. And I get a lot of, it's a very negative thing, a very judgmental thing, but I don't think that people understand. And I'm very, passionate about this because I have been homeless off and on for many years.
I don't think I've used the term hobo, but yeah, I mean,
I don't know if it was you, and I'm not going to say it was you.
Yeah, I could say I don't remember using it. I guess I could have, but I don't remember using it.
Yeah, and it's really quite insulting. But we are, you know, I think that people forget that that homeless people, not hobos, but homeless people are human beings. Mm-hmm. We all, regardless of the color of your skin or what you're wearing or whatever, we all have been, you know, born and we all bleed the same blood and we all are living human beings.
Mm-hmm. How did you become
homeless?
And we
should be treated as such.
How did you become homeless?
How did I become homeless? I've made mistakes. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are many things. I was held up by two guns. I suffered depression. I was held up by a couple of guns. I have, I don't want to go into my very, very young age past. I suffer depression. Mm-hmm. I suffer a lot of things. I struggle. Mm-hmm. I struggle on a daily basis. And those things that happen to you in a very young age make you who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's difficult. But I've had a lot of things happen. And then I lost, and I had very low self-esteem, lost a lot of weight, and then I got in trouble because I all of a sudden thought I felt okay. So I got in trouble. I lost my license. Mm-hmm. So, but you know what? I can promise you this. Each and every single one of us, I would say not each and everyone, but most of us, we probably have made many mistakes. Mm-hmm. However, many of us have not gotten caught. However, I got caught.
And
in that process.
Yeah. Hmm? How old were you at the time you said you were young?
Oh, no. I was, when I started suffering my ailments, mm-hmm. 9 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then we can go from there, but I'm not going to go into that.
Well, how old were you when you were homeless then?
I was started at about 40.
Okay.
I'm 40. I'm going to be 49. I don't even know how old. Forget after a while.
So you're not too far removed from it then. Like, well, how did you get yourself out of that situation?
But I'm still not okay. But how did I get myself out?
Mm-hmm.
I had to swallow my pride and ask for help. And I never even, I still don't want it because it's not the answer.
Hmm. What do you mean by that? It helps not the answer.
Because then you, everything is, it becomes too easy and then you're not motivated. Like it's just weird. It's like, it's so in depth, but I want to kind of go back to the homelessness. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm talking about is the homeless. You cannot, please don't, they're, people, you know, most people don't even acknowledge us.
Mm-hmm.
And I do consider myself a homeless person. I'm not at this very moment,
mm-hmm.
but I have been for many years and I hear this show I've been listening to it every night
mm-hmm.
or I want to call in and I finally heard a phone number and I just feel as though I asked Elliot Davis to do a one-on-one with me. He won't. There are many interviews with me on Elliot Davis, by the way.
Well, he's someone that's been very active with going out there and reporting on this. He's on the streets a lot.
He's more for the, you know, the city doing something. And you are correct. Whoever, I guess, if was it you? You are correct. There are people that do want that life.
Yeah.
And do not judge them for that. They are. you know, and if people donate to them, or if they're doing whatever they're doing to survive, then they're surviving and they choose that. But there are many people that do not choose that.
Yeah.
You get stuck. You get to a place it's ludicrous. There aren't any Johnny on the spots. There aren't any equipment and the places won't let you go to the bathroom. I could talk to you for hours about this. Mm-hmm. We're just completely judged. The police harass you. I had 15 charges dropped last year because I was completely harassed. Hmm. I mean, you can't sit on a stoop. You can't sit anywhere. Mm-hmm. No matter where you stand, they think you're panhandling, mm-hmm. which I don't panhandle.
There's some very aggressive panhandling that goes on in downtown St. Louis.
But what's happening also is that they're wanting the homeless out of downtown St. Louis, mm-hmm. or out of St. Louis, period. And what they're doing is closing everything. So what do you expect? People are people. We breathe and we need to eat and we need to have a cold water or a drink or whatever. Mm-hmm. And people, that's what they do to survive.
Right. No, I understand.
So,
yeah, I mean, when we talked about homelessness on the show before, I've had Larry Rice on many times. I think Larry is a stand-up guy, and he's done a lot, but he has had a lot of struggles with the city when he seems like he's done everything he could to try to get his shelter up and going again to try to get more people helped. But, you know, that city seemed to be harassing them, and a lot of it has to do with the residents and trying to grow downtown. They just don't want to have a homeless shelter close to where they live. And, you know, even when you see some of these things, like when I drive around at night, because I get off pretty late, I do see a lot of people, this is what I can just assume. If you're passed out and your legs are halfway into the street, I don't think that's a choice. I feel like there's some sort of substance that is you're under the influence of. So there are some people that are like that out here, too. And there's some people that don't want to be helped. That's just what happens with some people. They don't want to go to a shelter. And there are. I mean, it's just you see a lot of that outside too.
I know some people that don't, and that is their choice, that is their choice.
Yeah,
but that is probably maybe two handfuls.
Yeah,
and that is true.
Well, yeah, and some of them that I've spoke to, they said that the reason for that is because they feel like it's more dangerous inside some of these shelters. The clientele that would come into it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in many shelters, and it's dangerous in the shelter, very much so. It's dangerous, very much so, on the streets. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been beaten up, and I've been. I don't want to go into all of the horrible things, but I've had many things. I don't even have a phone because I didn't carry one because I find people in my pockets. Mm-hmm. It's a dangerous, dangerous world.
Yeah.
And then once you're there and once you make a mistake, or maybe you don't make a mistake and maybe your house burns down, or maybe you lose a job, and you know, people are out there for many reasons.
Yeah.
A lot of them are bad choices. Mm-hmm. But then what happens is you get out there and then there's nowhere to shower. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Or I shouldn't say nowhere. There's not anywhere to do these things. Mm-hmm. There's not anywhere to brush your teeth. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's ludicrous. You can't sleep at night because you have to keep one eye open and one eye shut. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's not any possible, you don't have any clothes. So how on earth do you get out of it?
Yeah.
And so then, you know, so it's more than people think, and people are quite judgmental. And I think that my purpose is, this is my very first time, and thank you for answering my call. And I'm probably making a fool of myself, but
no,
but
I don't think so. I mean, we just talk about really any of these things. They're all things that are welcome on the show. So, Terry, we got to go, but call back anytime, okay?
All right.
Thanks, Terry. Appreciate it. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.